College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall. I'm Chris. And we're here to discuss what else? College football. We are down to what? Our second to last show. The season is dwindling down. It is kind of weird to come off the conference finals and then go right into bowl season. It's kind of nice, actually. And here at the College Ball Show, we're not too bummed about some of these bowl games not happening. Just so you know, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, the Union Home Mortgage Bowl, New Era Pinstripes, LA Bowl. Is that a new one? Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. I didn't know they switched it to Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. And this is kind of what I'm talking about, that type of thing where it's the Quick Lane Bowl. That's actually a decent bowl. But anyway, we are going to discuss some college football, folks. Last show, last Wednesday, was a bit of a ranting session. We got a lot of good feedback, whatever, you know, side you were on the argument or the debate. Everyone does have an opinion. So we are going to not do that, obviously, because we already got that off our chest. So we're going to quickly, you know, brush on a couple of these games that have already happened. One of the craziest games and crazy ending and crazy everything was that Liberty Coastal Carolina 37-34 with Liberty with the win, kind of making up for that one they lost to NC State, I think it was. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but then we'll look forward to tomorrow and the next day, and especially Friday and the rest of the weekend. A couple of good matchups, Oklahoma State and Miami. Oklahoma State is a one-point favorite. And Miami has a bunch of defensive ends out now. So that might even be that might be a tough to stop the run. Kind of matters what tackle is going to play in that game. Florida, Oklahoma. On paper, it looks great, but Florida does have some folks that are going to be out. So don't get me wrong. I mean, Cincinnati has a chance to say, hey, look at us against Georgia. And then obviously Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, and, you know, Texas A&M, North Carolina. That's where my Canes should be. But North Carolina kicked their ass. So they got the Orange Bowl. Kind of sucks because, man, I love when it's Miami in the Orange Bowl. Iowa State and Oregon is different. That's a good game, too. I like that game. So we are going to kind of breeze through some of this stuff. It won't be the normal hour or hour 5, you know, minutes or whatever. But if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. Streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. Streams live at archives. It's basically the headquarters. However, you don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadope and download the show directly there or listen to the browser. You can find this here College Ball Show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast at Apple Podcast, on iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, really all across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have a 7-day free trial. Once you sign up, there's no annual contract. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They do have the cloud DVR. Just for signing up, you get a 7-day free trial of HBO Max. Now, if you go with the AT&T TV Now Max Special, that package, that'll already include HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11. That's AT&T TV Now, like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host Marshall and see how he's doing. He popped in here real quick, brought the cold weather, and then dipped back to Texas. Minnesota, Texas. That was a quick little run there.
Yeah, my dad and brother are thinking about coming to visit me next month to play some golf. So I'm lucky to live where I live. I enjoyed going home. It was great to see my mom and dad for Christmas. My brother came over because he lives 20 minutes away, and it was cool because So obviously my dad loves sports, Chris, as you know, you've met him, but he's not obviously like a fantasy football guy. And my brother was playing to try to win the title this week. So it was just interesting, you know, like a regular parent who loves sports, but like doesn't know fantasy football. So my brother's like breaking down, who do I start here? And my dad's like, what the hell? And it was just kind of a fascinating, fun family debate of, well, you know, why do you play this guy? Or how do the point scoring systems work and all this stuff? And my dad's like, Does a team winning help your fantasy football team? I'm like, well, not really. So it was a good chat. And then, of course, the famous question of, do you have kickers? Which I think if you're not a fantasy football person, everyone's probably asked that question once in their life of, do kickers matter? So, yeah. And I also watched the Vikings on Christmas with my dad, which was.
How'd that go? Did you have anybody on the football, Saints fantasy? Because that would have been really fun if you had that running back.
If you had Alvin Kamara, you probably won your fantasy football title.
I mean, you were partying like it was 1926 or whenever the hell the last time. I think it was 1929, right before the Wall Street fell or whatever, back before the Depression. Because that record, that 6-touchdown record in professional football, had only been tied once since. I think it was 23, 26, something like that. It's crazy.
I'll say this. If you had Alvin Kamara and lost your fantasy football this week, I feel for
just
you.
Just give it up.
just retire.
Just retire, dude. It's not worth it. It's just too much stress.
Yeah. But anyways, aside from fantasy football and family, life is pretty good. Got one more week of coaching and then it's back to school in the year of 2020. So overall, I always like to start off with some random talk, but my random talk this year, because we're seeing it more and more now, and Chris and I talked about this before the show, is I hope that whatever football team you love, because obviously we got people who love all sorts of teams listening to the podcast across the country, I hope your coach is a good late game manager. Because the new trendy thing now to do, which we saw in the Liberty game, which we saw in the Dolphins and Raider game, is try not to score to save time, to still win. But it's like this has become a thing in the last 2 years, really big this year, Chris. And it is amazing that these coaches in college and pro get paid tons and tons of money, yet their late game management knowledge and skills are minimal to some people. Like, there's conversations that you and I would have if we're watching a game together, but the guy who's walking the sidelines getting $3 to $4 million a year doesn't comprehend. Hell, even last week, we started off the show, Dan Mullen made two massive mistakes. And, you know, he's an SEC heavily paid coach. So, if your team's bowl game is coming up, and this could happen in the Bama game or in Clemson game or any other game we're going to see, you know, this new thing about how to handle late game scenarios is going to be interesting because it's becoming really trendy now. Well, let's fall down on the one and let's make sure we win. Well, it's not always that easy. And it just blows my mind of the lack of knowledge some of these coaches have, yet it's like they're trying to be the trendy, like, in thing to do, Chris. And that came back to almost bite Liberty, as you were saying. That was a great bowl game, but they almost threw that up royally.
I mean, they almost did. It's kind of crazy because Liberty jumped out pretty early, 14-3. Coastal Carolina kind of jumped back in the game, got it to 17-13. Then it was 24-13, 31-19. They kept answering the bell, but at some point they tightened it up all the way, right? Got it to 34-34. And Liberty had an 8-play drive, 74 yards and 2 minutes and 20 seconds, right? And then they're getting within range and exactly what you're talking about here. And it's first and goal at the 3. And the Joshua Mack just basically kind of goes to the side and it looks like he's lining up, obviously trying to burn time and line up for a game-winning field goal. A lot of times that's what it is. It's like you don't want to score too early because you're leaving stuff on the clock. And we've seen in the past, every once in a while, a guy like for fantasy, people would be pissed off in the pros where some dude would just park at the 1, you know, and just go right to a knee and whatnot. But this one was different because Mac did it right on the first play. Got the hand out, went a little to the right, was sitting there, and then took a knee. In the second one, he did the same thing, but he went forward a little bit. And he got to the point where he was starting to, like, go in the hole where everybody is, in a sense. And the Coastal Carolina defensive linemen, as we know, they don't give two shits. They're gonna grab your ass like everybody else. But the reason why we say that is because the 2 weeks before or whatever, when they were doing the BYU QB Wilson, was pretty funny. But if it was my, you know, if it was my squad, I wouldn't be laughing too much. I'd be like, what the hell, you know, throw a flag. But this dude allows himself to get so close to where the Coastal Carolina defenders just grab his ass and try to take him into the end zone. And this guy's like tightening up and locking his legs just off that. When you see this replay enough, it feels like you could hurt yourself off that. But then I think it was a tight end. I believe the guy behind him, his teammate from Liberty, was going to try to grab him and pull him back. But that dude like kind of stopped right before the goal line. And like I said, locked his legs. And all of a sudden, this dude, his teammate, goes over the top of him. And it's just a mess. And this dude, Mac, tries to put the ball down, like, right at the goal line so they'd still, you know, be able to burn clock. And he ends up fumbling. It was like, what the? So you got all that. You just outsmarted yourself. And obviously, that was the end of the game as far as regulation. So you go into overtime, Liberty gets the field goal. They had four plays for negative 1 yard, so they didn't go anywhere. And sure enough, four plays for 0 yards, and they got Coastal Carolina took their first L of the season. A blocked field goal wins it for Liberty. Like I said, they had that crazy, like, 15-14 or 16-15 loss to NC State, and it was just all sorts of wildness at that end of the game. So I guess they kind of got that back. But Liberty finishes off a very, very good season. Too bad for Coastal Carolina to lose in that fashion. But, yeah, man, that was weird, dude. I just kept thinking, like, that dude's going to hurt his legs, dude. Like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing getting that close? Another thing, what's your teammate doing? Like, just get away from the play, dude. But anyway, you know, there wasn't a whole lot else to talk about. When it comes to that Buffalo Marshall game, Buffalo ended up winning 17-10 a couple nights ago. Our Raging Cajuns finished a strong win, get a 31-24 victory. There wasn't a ton of great games, to be honest. Now what happened with the Hawaii Houston game? Someone was just telling me about something about that game. Do you know anything about that, Marshall?
So good old Coach Holgerson, who I've never liked when he was at West Virginia. I did love Will. Was it Will Smith? Who was the stud quarterback?
Yeah, the quarterback. Didn't he go to Florida for a year? Oh no, yeah. He was at Florida. Got popped and then went there. Will, what the hell's his name? I know who you're talking about.
I love that dude, but I've never liked Coach Holgerson, who's 2-6 in the bowl games, and he went to be 2-7 because they lost this week, which again I enjoyed. But anyways,
Will Greer.
Will Greer, the man. So I was watching obviously being a guy who enjoys gambling, I was watching the point spread on that game, and obviously Houston, they had a huge COVID bug bother them all year, which sucks, like a lot of other teams did, and they open up as like an 8-point favorite against Hawaii. And then they went up to like a 13-point favorite. So, okay, you're getting 13 points. That's a pretty good bump. And then in the like a day before the game, you see these rumors come out that Houston has to sit 20 players due to a few COVID and a few due to failing class. And the players apparently on Houston didn't realize that failing a class this year with COVID and stuff, it might not affect your GPA, but it could make you ineligible for the bowl games. So Houston.
Oh yeah, that's right. Finals.
So those things called finals, which again are important. I guess the guy has just mailed it in a little bit this year. Houston had multiple players out due to academic ineligibility. And I was telling my co-host and my friend before the show, it's been a minute that I can recall to where a coach came on record with the local radio station saying, yeah, my guys didn't know that they had to pass their finals. Because, you know, again, I'm sure this year school is different. Like, hell, a kid this year can go to college without having an SAT. So,
right.
From some, and I know, like, in high school down here, we're not taking the state STAR test, which, like, it's right. The high school. So, so many states
some
have different regulations.
Some people aren't even doing great. They're just doing pass or fail.
But you still got to. You still got to
finish
your
class. Yeah, it's always set up in December. It's finals, you know, finals week.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. That.
And as I was saying to wrap up this thing, I was like, honestly, you know, I know it's been a weird year, but I guarantee this is something that, like, for example, Saban would never have happened. Like, this goes to show that this dude maybe isn't always the top notch coach, or maybe when it gets to bowl season, he's 2-7, maybe doesn't give a shit about bowls or something, but. It's been a long time. I mean, normally you'll hear some school scandal issues, but I mean, even that's been a while. But yeah, to have kids fail and not play in a bowl game, there probably needs to be a little of a refocus, or maybe the coach or something. But it was just mind blowing because I heard someone mention, well, there's academic issues. And it's like, and then here's quote, we our kids didn't know they had to pass their class to play. Well, OK, that's just a weird tone to go into the offseason on. And Hawaii, to their credit, they got up 21-0. They were up 28-14, and they got themselves a nice win. So if you bet Hawaii money line or Hawaii plus the points, dude, I teased them. I was up 14-0 before the game started, so I was up like 35 points covered. That was a beautiful win, but a really sad and dumb loss. If you're a Houston fan, you gotta be like, seriously, dude, we're paying you to be boosters, and you can't have your guys pass classes? Like, what the hell? Yeah. I don't know, just really goofy and strange.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's pretty crazy. Like you said, we've heard like of NCAA violations over a period of time when it comes to academics, but these dudes 3.5 years, a lot of them freaking already graduated before they're done with their schooling. So
yeah,
or you know, originally because they for quite some time now you've been able to stay. In the summer, which not even all that long ago, you generally wouldn't stay during the summer. So, you know, and take classes and stuff. So,
well, it's one of those things too. I mean, I know I coach high school, but that's one of those things, Chris, where you got to know that's like a program thing. Like, you know, it said 20 players were out, and I guarantee right. That wasn't 17 COVID three school. Like that's something right. Where like 10 guys on your team know, hey, dude, I'm not passing that. Well, shit, I'm not passing either. Like, well, who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Or, you know, it's like, well, yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does.
Or you just have to the point where the guy or the players don't care, which then really does go to show, well, dude, what kind of program are you running? If the kids don't care to pass their class and don't care to play in a bowl game, again, I know it's been a weird year.
Right.
But it's still. Either – the players don't care about playing, which is sad, or the coaches weren't paying attention to grades. But either way, that's a like I said, a negative way to end the season. And I say that because for as long as we've done this podcast, it is crazy to see how ending a season, which ties nicely into our show because it's our bowl show, can really propel a team. If you rewind 2 years ago at this point, the Gophers won a bowl game against Georgia Tech, which to a regular person, I'll do whatever, it's a bowl game. That propelled them to have the year they had last year. Like a bowl game can really be a huge motivational factor, COVID or not. It's your last game of the year. How are we ending our season like that? And that led the Gophers to have one of the best seasons they've had like in 50 years. So even though it's something small in one game, how you end your season can at sometimes really, Chris, bump up your team to, hey guys, like that was awesome. Like, hey, the seniors went out on good note, or we won a game we weren't supposed to, or hey, going into next year, we finish on a 4-game winning streak. Like a lot of times that can really propel a team to having a much better season the following year.
Yeah, I was going to say that exact thing. Like that literally, I think they won their last 3 or 4. They beat Wisconsin in Wisconsin, something they hadn't done since like early 90s. And yeah, you're right. It definitely propelled, you know, into the next year. Speaking of propelling into the next year, number 18 Miami and number 21 Oklahoma State looks to be a good matchup on paper. Oklahoma State is the favorite there by a point and a half. Some great news, though, for Miami with momentum next year. De'Aaron King decided to come back for one more year, and I'm so freaking happy. And the Canes have a bunch of young quarterbacks, but I don't know if any of them are for sure ready by next year. And so just in a lot of ways, this helps. Basically, most of the whole offense is back. Obviously, some of the things, we're going to be in better shape defensively with COVID, because obviously they've had a rough – two of the games were really bad defensively. But the thing is here, so there's three defensive ends that are going to go pro for Miami. And one of them didn't play this year. He's like a top 10 to top 20 pick. He didn't even play this year, right? And then we had this this senior transfer, the grad transfer from Virginia Tech. I think it's I can't remember his name. But anyway, he's a damn good player. He's going to end up getting drafted someplace, and he was going to be gone anyway. So he's going. But here's the kicker. So the guy that didn't play because of COVID, somebody who had injury problems when he was a freshman and sophomore, as a junior got to step in and play a lot more plays than he thought he would. Well, that dude blew up. That dude blew up, Marshall. And now they're saying he may be a first or second round. And it's like, we just can't get our defensive ends on the same page for like 2 years. So now the top three DNs, two of them were going to go. But now the other one who blew up in his place is going to go too. But anyway, long story short, none of those guys are going to be on the field on this game. So it's that, you know, the defense stuff in the run, they were pretty good. But we still got to see if there's a couple of tackles that have been out too and linebackers. If you're going to stuff the run, you need the middle of the teeth of the defense on the line in the linebackers. That's pretty clutch. Obviously, a good corner that can stop the run on the edge, sure, for contain and all that. Sometimes defensive ends are kind of one-sided to the quarterback, and they're not as good as the run or whatever, and they can just get ran on. But that's got me worried to the point where I think Oklahoma State's going to win the game. But I'm just so happy that King's coming back, man, because Miami and quarterbacks in the last, like, 20 years has just been a struggle.
Yeah, and from my perspective, sadly, Clay Helton's coming back. So USC is not going to whatever. They'll be okay next year because they'll have talent again, but I wish he was leaving. Missouri had a really nice first year with that new coach, Drinkwitz. Like, they actually, Mizzou won games they weren't supposed to. So that's, like, positive going forward. And Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin, he's got a lot of good recruits coming in, and if he can make his defense even half respectable, they'd be okay. So optimistic. Again, I believe I also heard that there was a couple of wide receivers out for your Hurricanes in the bowl game too. So you boys are a little shorthanded, but again, big picture, this bowl game really doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, obviously you want to win, but yeah. And I'd see Missouri's bowl game actually got canceled. So, again, end of the day, it's not a big deal. Would have been nice to see them play. Again, that's another team very similar to the Gophers who have a new coach. Things are looking up, have a freshman quarterback. Like, we made a lot of progress this year. Would have been nice to finish on a good note, but due to whatever reasons, Mizzou will not have a bowl game this year, and it is what it is. We move on. But as Chris also said, after the Oklahoma State Miami game is Texas-Colorado. That should be a pretty fun game. If you're a Texas fan, you got Tom Herman coming back. I know a lot of people either love that or hate that. It, to me, what I heard from like top media people was that Texas wanted Urban Meyer. He said no. And then a couple days later, Texas said we're bringing Tom Herman back. Again, I think if you look at what Tom Herman's done at Texas, it doesn't really show off much pride and skills at all. Like, it's actually been average at best, and they're losing kids out of the state of Texas for recruiting, but I don't give a shit. So we'll see how they do. And if you're Colorado, you went 4-1. You actually had a pretty nice season. That'd be a nice game. That should be a nice competitive game. The Wednesday, December 30th, before we get to the big games, Wake Forest at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's offense this year has been abysmal. That game is average. Florida to Oklahoma. As my co-host was telling me before the show, Florida has three wide receivers out. You got to wonder about the motivational level of Florida, especially. You had a letdown game against LSU. You lose to Bama in a close game. Do you really give a crap about playing Oklahoma? I know, Chris, those are two big names, but Florida's motivational level for this game has to be pretty damn minimal. If I was a betting man, I mean, again, they have good players. You've had a quarterback who's put up Heisman numbers. You have one of the best tight ends in the country. But I would have to, I would either bet Oklahoma or nothing, because is Florida going to come out and want to play? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. If we look at them coming off a garbage loss to LSU when they're a 23-point favorite or whatever, they did bounce back pretty well against Bama.
True. Yeah.
So I think it'll be, I don't know if it's going to be, you're making a good point. It may be motivation, but I think they may be motivated. But when you're losing the tight end and your top two wide receivers to throw to, when we know how offensively driven that team is, I think that's where the problem is going to be. And I don't know, was it always three or close to three? Because I heard of the news yesterday. I was wondering if it was going to go up to 3.5 or four. But I like Oklahoma in that game, and they've closed better down the stretch as well.
Right now, ESPN has the line at 3. Again, who knows what book they're referencing. But yeah, I see it. I see OU minus 3. Now, obviously, I think if we get a Florida offensive effort that we had against Bama, I think Florida's going to win. I mean, if we're talking offense and defense, Florida's had a better offense this year, and Florida has a mildly better defense. But again, if you have receivers out, motivational angle, it could be a letdown spot. I'd be a little nervous to bet the game. Yeah. And Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley's probably doing his best to groom Spencer Rattler, because for the first time in a long time, he's actually having a quarterback come back. He's not going to win a Heisman. He's not going top five pick.
Right.
But
so they could use this as motivation, like we were saying, to next year, you know?
True. Sadly, there was all supposed to be Iowa Mizzou that night. That would have been a fun one for me to watch, but that got canceled. Thursday, quickly, the 31st, Tulsa, Mississippi State, whatever. Ball State at San Jose State. Quickly, that's an awesome story. San Jose State, who, again, 5-6 years ago was one of the worst five programs in the whole nation, won the Mountain West Conference this year. They went 7-0. They beat Boise State in the conference title game. Some people had tickets on San Jose State to win the Mountain West at 100-1 before the season started. If you cash that ticket, you're a lucky SOB. Props to you. If you're a San Jose State alumni, dude, that must have been a really, really fun year. But
yeah, no kidding.
That's just one of those stories that makes you love sports. Obviously, I know that Chris and I are big sport fans. It's a big part of my life. It's why I have the job I do for coaching. But you can't help but love a team and a coach who literally, I guarantee the San Jose State weight room, when he came down, there was probably really similar to a lot of high school.
A lot of high schools. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
My high school weight room, which was a while ago, by the way, was probably just as good.
So, and now you finished the year, you won the Mountain West, you're ranked 22nd. And they actually sung like the Lean on Me song after they won the game in the locker. It was actually a great viral video.
Yeah, I saw that. I forgot about that.
That's why you gotta love sports. So that should be a fun game to watch. I hope they win to go 8-0. West Virginia plays Army. If you're gonna bet that game, whenever a team plays a triple option team, it's always kind of tricky.
And they haven't had 3 weeks either. Like normally, waiting for you know what I mean?
True. So again, if West Virginia is a 7-point favorite, so obviously West Virginia had a good year, but Army is also 9-2. Army is not a bad squad, and West Virginia's probably not played a trip option team all year. And honestly, Chris, credit to what we're about to get to the big games here, but props to West Virginia, because Army, since they have no, conference affiliation, they were actually left out of the bowl games this year entirely. And it took the team West Virginia, who was going to play, had a COVID bug, and West Virginia's like, you know what, dude, we'll play you, Army. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is dope.
The fact that we were about to have a school who, like, fights for our country, who was 9-2 this year, their coach was pleading to be in a bowl game because the game after them that day is a 3-7 Arkansas team against a 6-4 TCU team. So due to ESPN bowl regulations and shit, Army is going to be left out of the bowl game. The coach pleads like, dude, we want to play it. It's COVID year, but we want to play. My guys want to play. They've earned it. Shit, you went 9-2.
Yeah.
So the team West Virginia played got bumped out for COVID, and they said, dude, all right, we'll play you. So, again, I obviously both teams want to win, but massive props to West Virginia to let Army play just because that, again, you go 9-2 this year, and the NCAA is like, oh, dude, sorry. We can't fit you in. Times are tough. So that's awesome. That should be a fun one to watch. And then, like I said, after that, Arkansas versus TCU is a 3-7 versus 6-4 battle. So, yeah. All right.
And West Virginia is not even that much of a favorite, really. Or TCU, I mean, in
no,
that game.
No, yeah.
It's like 4.5 or something, right?
In fairness, Arkansas had themselves a really nice year. They've been a shit team in the last however many years, and they won 3 games. So Arkansas had a nice season. But when you're, again, keeping out the military school in our country to let a bunch of 3-7 teams make the bowl games, it does make you shake your head. But now, to the big day. You're going to roll out of bed. It's going to be 2021. Everything, I think there will be a fresh Sunday, hell, a fresh Friday breeze. The sun should be everywhere across the country. And now we're talking some big football. To start off the day, it's Georgia-Cincinnati. Fun game to watch. Auburn-Northwestern. Fun game to watch.
Yeah.
And then to get to the big ones at 3:00, when you're after you had a couple Bloody Marys and you're soaking in 2021, this game will be played 20 miles from my house because the Rose Bowl was not allowed to have fans. And I'm sure there'll be at least 20,000 people in Jerry's world. The Fighting Irish stroll into the Cowboy Stadium to play Alabama. The spread is 19.5 points, Chris. I don't think the spread should be lower. I know it opened up 20, went up to 21. You've seen a little money come back on Bama, or excuse me, on Notre Dame. I'll ask you a layup question. What would it take for Notre Dame? Actually, this is probably this opposite of a layup. This is like a 3-point shot. What would it take for Notre Dame to win the game?
Well, they'd have to score more points than Nutschkin. You know, one thing that we could say is that they have a pretty damn good defensive line.
True.
Especially on the interior. So, and they've played some pretty good, you know, well, some really great offenses in North Carolina and Clemson. And they've come out of that stat-wise pretty damn good. Actually, they're at 18.6 in Bama for defense. And Bama gives up 19.5. So that's a huge, that's 0.9, is it? Okay, I'm not going to go there. But the point is, anytime you can contain, and I'm not saying stop, there's no such thing as stopping the Alabama Roll Tide running back crew, right, in the line. But containing it, and then also being able to run a lot as well, 217 on the ground, that's probably their best bet. Obviously, to kind of turn up in the red zone, but this is just so weird to look at a Bama team that is averaging basically 190 on the ground, which is still a whole lot. But then to be averaging 354 yards through the air, dude. I mean, sure, they give up 243 through the air, which actually is a ton for them, but 354 yards on average they're getting out of their passing game, which is pretty scary for Notre Dame just in general. But, yeah, I'd say red zone defense, you have to come up with a key turnover or two and just, you know, rushing the ball and trying to stop the run. But that's ways they could win. But as we know, they're going to be trying to stop the run themselves. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you this part two. is part of the line of the 19.5, is part of that the reputation of Notre Dame's had for the past 10, 15 years of they really don't show up in these big games? Again, fair or not, again, they make them there, which a lot of schools, hell, a lot of schools in the country don't even make these games. But
sure.
Do you think the line is inflated due to the, well, shit, it's Notre Dame, they're going to get beat up again like they always do in these games?
I think some of that is, but also Bama on the low is like, they may have the second best, totally on the low, the second best offense of all time. I mean, it's literally, you could literally make an argument for it. And that's crazy coming off of LSU last year. And maybe, you know, Saban's like, because remember a chunk of years ago, Saban mixed it up and said, we need to be able to pass at a high rate. Let's get more than just one stud receiver. Let's get two or three of them. And let's start spreading this ball around and not just stick to the run and game management type quarterbacks. Well, maybe he took another step this year saying, screw this, dude. Did you see what LSU? That's what we're competing with. So I think it's a combination of all that, but I think the Notre Dame game, or the Notre Dame, you know, they've only won one big game, and that was this year against Clemson. Otherwise, you're right. Because remember a couple of years ago when Miami played them and just whooped on them? You're right. Every big game, and even Bama, what, this is probably 6, 7 years ago, maybe even longer, that they took on Bama in the national title game, and they just got their ass kicked too. So I think it does have something to do with that, Notre Dame not winning these big games, but also Bama on the low is just really, really good this year, dude.
Yeah, their offense, I mean, and I'm not quite sure what's driven it. It could be media, it could be whatever reason, and I know a lot of people among me across the sports media are kind of confused too, but you're about to have a Heisman wide receiver win the – or excuse me. You're about to have a wide receiver win the Heisman, which, and he also
at Alabama too.
At Bama, yeah, and you also have a running back who could possibly have won the Heisman, and your quarterback who has numbers who possibly could have won the Heisman. Like, their offense is just stupid good. So, I'm with you. I don't think that Notre Dame's defense is going to be able to contain them for enough. Maybe the first quarter, maybe you hold Bama to 7. Because, hell, teams did that this year. There was a game, Arkansas, I believe, was up 7-3 on Bama this year. It was up 3-0 after one quarter. And then Bama scored 31 points in the second quarter. So, again, I think the spread is maybe inflated by a few points due to Notre Dame's issues in the past. But as you said, Chris, and I know I gave an impossible answer, it's going to be really hard for them to win. The only way it could probably happen would be realistically is if, like, Bama's quarterback gets hurt. Like, let's say Mac gets hurt. Maybe the backup comes in, maybe stumbles. And I hate to ever wish that, but I'm just saying logistically, with the way their offense has been this year, that's probably the only way it could happen. So I hope it's a good game. But
65.5, too, with the over-under. See, that's crazy, too. Like, there's not a ton of Bama games where it's 65 or even close to 70.
And I think if you're Notre Dame, you got to plan to score 47, in my opinion. I think Notre Dame would have to score 47 to win, because if you get into a shootout and you actually force Bama's offense to have to run down the field, which they've not had to do much this year because they've been so good. If you have a shootout, I think Notre Dame would have to win 47-45 at best case. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't see Notre Dame winning a game where Bama scores less. So. It'll be a fun game to watch for the first half, but I think the second half would be tough. If I had to bet it, I would probably take the over, because again, I think Bama's going to score 40, whether it's a close game or not. So I would lean the over to the betting team, Chris, to win by 19.5. That's sneaky, because you could see Bama play a marvelous football game, and Notre Dame has no chance in hell, but Notre Dame has a backdoor cover when they're down 27. They go for two, and they win by – and Notre Dame wins by 19. You lose your bet pissed off. So
exactly. That's a good point. That's really
good. And now we're going down to a game at 7 o'clock New Year's Day of 2021, which should be a good game, I would assume, of Clemson against Ohio State. The spread for this game is Clemson -7.5. So obviously we're projecting a closer game. These teams did play last year in a head-to-head matchup where if it wasn't for a wide receiver running a possible wrong route, this game could have flipped the other way and Ohio State could have won. So we should have a fun game between Clemson and Ohio State. I'll give you the Ohio State version. I'll throw it to my co-host. If you're an Ohio State fan, or if you're looking at the way their season's been, you're still really not sure. Just because you played six games this year, your two big wins of the year were against Indiana,
who, yeah,
besides playing you close, they did not have a huge win. They had respectable wins, but Indiana was probably a top 20 ranked team. And you beat Northwestern, who really didn't beat anyone that great this year either, because Wisconsin had a rough year. So you have decent wins, but nothing that's really remarkable, I would say. So we think Ohio State's good because their name is good, but you didn't have a tough year of competition just because the Big Ten in general is a bit down and you didn't play a full regular schedule. And in the two big games of the year, you got to a 35-7 win on a 35-7 lead on Indiana. And your quarterback kind of choked a little bit in the second half, had some really bad picks, and they came back to make it close. Whatever, you won the game. And then, as my co-host said last week, Fields had a really rough game against Northwestern, but he jacked up his thumb. So I think if you're betting Ohio State this game, this is based on the fact that you have a good coach in Ryan Day who will have the guys ready, and you got to hope that you see the best Fields you've seen all year, because in the two games he's played this year against top-notch teams, he's not had his best moments. Skill level on the field, they're going to have five stars against five stars. But I'd be a little hesitant to bet Ohio State just because you've not had your best year, but maybe you're saving this game up for your best of the year, which could occur. If you're a Clemson fan, Chris, how do you feel going into this matchup?
I feel pretty good because, you know, the amount, speaking of LSU, I think the second most people that got drafted, or third most, was Ohio State, and especially on the defensive end. We obviously know the edge rusher was a beast last year. He's obviously hasn't played all this year because he's in the pros. But so I think defensively they have had some issues. Now, they've been able to stuff the run, but they're giving up 261 through the air. So I'm feeling pretty good that I can blend a run and a pass game, especially a pass game. Clemson's at basically .164 for running, but .343 through the air. And it seems like they've just gotten better and better and better, because you could make an argument that they underachieved early in the season when they almost lost to Boston College. That was also the first game with the backup, and then you could tell he had a much better game the very next week too. But down the stretch, Clemson played really, really good. And so I just think that they have more pieces back from last year. And Fields says he's okay on the thumb, but that's, what's he going to say? Nah, it fucking sucks, but I'm going to play. You know what I mean? Of course he's going to say he's okay. So we got a real, sure. So I'd feel pretty good, especially obviously bringing back Lawrence. Now he's got a couple of games underneath him. But the matchup predictor, dude, on ESPN, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, this is one of the first times I've ever seen it. 50%, it's a 50-50 game. 50-50 game. Now, Ohio State, if it wasn't for Fields, I think maybe they could sneak up and make it a tighter game and maybe steal it just off motivation, because they have a lot of talent. And basically, besides like Ohio State, almost the rest of the country is like, screw Ohio State. And there is something, there is that motivational, like, we're going to go show them and we're going to put our best game together. We're going to put that 35-7 lead and then keep it, you know, that, because they actually, for that 35-7, they look phenomenal, like phenomenal. And then, like you said, Indiana came back. They had some turnovers in the red zone. And, you know, credit to their defense, they actually did create some turnovers on the other side with Indiana, too. They had two turnover on downs, if I remember correctly. So, it kind of sets up for Ohio State saying, oh, okay, so we don't belong here. Here we are. But I just – the Fields thing throws me off. I really don't know if his thumb's going to be okay or not.
Yeah, and that makes it really hard to predict. I mean, hell, that Jared Goff has a bust thumb. He wants to play, you know. But, I don't think the Rams are going to let him. You know, a thumb is so important just for handling the ball, making passes. Clearly – it puts the coaches in a weird spot, too. I mean, if he is going out there at 70%, are you really doing yourself a favor? You know, and again, obviously everyone wants to play, especially I'm sure he wants to be out there. But if you notice in the start of the game that, hey, Fields isn't throwing the ball that well, that's a massive advantage for Clemson. So,
yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just that. Yeah. All right, let's just say Fields is healthy. Would you say this is a coin flip game? I just similar to last year. I know that names and people are different,
right.
But I think that if Fields can go and he can have himself a decent game, I would give Clemson the edge. But I think this would be a game that in the fourth quarter, either team would be giving themselves a chance to win.
Yeah, the game's still on the line. I'd still favor Clemson by maybe a little less than 7.5. But yeah,
sure.
I still think I would have Clemson the favorite though.
I guess the one tough thing is the, as you mentioned, the Ohio State passing defense. Because when when Indiana did have a comeback against Ohio State, Indiana had a wide receiver who was good, like Frogile, who had like over 200 receiving yards. Normally, Ohio State's a team who has really good defensive backs. I mean, if you look on the NFL, I bet you could find probably 7 or 8 DBs who are on playoff teams this year or in the NFL that are from Ohio State. So 90% of the time they have a shutdown secondary. This year they've not had that at all. No. So,
and that's pressure too, like not getting enough pressure. You're right, because Penix Jr., 491 yards through the air, 5 touchdowns, 50. They threw the ball 51 times. Obviously, they were coming back. But, yeah, almost 500 yards through the air, dude.
Yeah, that's just a weakness that obviously one that Trevor Lawrence is probably going to try to rip and tear into. So, again, I think this will be a much more fun game than the prior one, but If Ohio State secondary has a rough game and Fields' thumb is similar to how it was against Northwestern, Ohio State is going to be sending in some trouble this game. And obviously the coaches, I wouldn't even go there. But you either love these guys coaching this game or hate the guys coaching the game. Or neutral and don't care. But
or you're slowly falling out of favor with Dabo. It's like he's just chopping down the tree of me not liking him.
Yeah, my tree has been under the ground for the past however many years. My tree is going into the earth. So, yeah. But yeah. So
I will say this though, Indiana's gonna put it on Ole Miss. Sorry, I had to go there. Indiana beats up Ole Miss by double digits. Iowa State's gonna beat Oregon. And A&M will beat North Carolina. Those are some other games that are really interesting.
Yeah, after you wake up from your fun New Year's Day when you watch the main games, I think if Ole Miss had a little more firepower, they'd be okay. But Elijah Moore, the man who had the piss 6 touchdown, is going pro, so he's opting out of the bowl game. Their tight end's also opting out too. So I do think that obviously I think Ole Miss is going to lose. I think that'll be a fun game to watch. I think Lane Kiffin will have some sort of plan. I think the over under 65, I would not be surprised if the game went over. Because Ole Miss's defense is good to give up 30-40, and Ole Miss, I guarantee you won't get shut out. So that would be a fun one to watch. And Iowa State, man, talk about a weird situation of things, because Iowa State could have won the Big 12 this year, and you had a late letdown game against OU, and now you're playing Oregon, who somehow won the Pac-12 despite not finishing first in their half the conference, and they beat USC. So I wouldn't pick that game. I'll back my co-host there. I'll take Iowa State, but I wouldn't bet that game for for $20.
Yeah, I think you're right. I could just see Iowa State saying, okay, you know that we screwed up against Oklahoma, but now we're going to win the game and look good doing it.
Yeah, and on the other game that day is NC State, Kentucky. That's actually four, knock on wood, we get them without COVID issues. That's actually four good games that day. I would lean Kentucky. I know that their win-loss record isn't beautiful at 4-6, but if they're focused, and you'd assume they would be, or they're prepared, they've always had a good defense. They obviously got beat up by some good teams this year, but I think they have a better defense. They kind of have, I don't know, I'm pro Kentucky there, so I'll take Kentucky. They're a 2.5-point favorite, even though NC State's ranked and has more wins on the year. I think that's Vegas' way of saying they got a slight edge. So I would lean Kentucky to win that one, just off, not off a whole lot. Just I think Kentucky is a well-coached team, and I just don't think NC State's as good as they've shown this year. So, yeah. And again, it's always kind of weird when you see a team ranked who's a dog versus an unranked team. That's really a sign from someone's perspective of, huh, okay, well, shit, maybe I should take the favorite team over the ranked team.
Yeah, well said, man. Well said. I am looking forward to that A&M Carolina game. I am a little bummed because, you know, had we showed up, the Canes could be in that game. But, you know, we didn't deserve it, obviously, because two running backs ran for like 7,000 yards. So that's why they're not in the game. But, yeah, that about wraps it up. We will have, just so people know, we will have at least one more show, because it'll be next Monday, and then we'll know who's going to be in the national title game, of course, even though we think we know who's going to do it. And it is some teams that we've heard about, Alabama and Clemson. I think we've heard that one before, that matchup's happened before. But we'll be back. But also remember, we call it the College Ball Show because as soon as the national championship is done, we switch to college ball, meaning basketball. So we'll take this College Ball Show. I think there's two left. Unless it's just an absolute destruction, maybe we wouldn't do a show off the national championship after it, but who knows. But there's only one or two, probably about two shows left. And then remember, if you're into college ball, then we'll do college ball all the way until the national championship. And then since we're on college ball, it turns into an NBA banter playoff bot podcast too. So we just keep it basketball. A lot of people that, you know, watch college basketball during March, a lot of those same people will watch NBA playoffs. It's just like all of a sudden the casual fans start to come out. They give a shit. So just keep that in mind and why we call it the College Ball Show.
And on that note, we will also break down the Ole Miss game because my co-host had to take a shot at good old Lane Kiffin. So if he wins the game against Indiana, I will gladly be bringing that up on our next Monday show.
A clean win, too.
Yeah, no. Well, digits. The dog pee is on the game, so we shouldn't have any personal fouls. But Matt Corral might throw five picks again. Dude, Kiffin needs a new quarterback. That dude had two five-pick games this year. So I think this is the last game he starts at Ole Miss for my guy Lane. But anyways, on that note, we are about to get through this year. we appreciate everyone listening to these podcasts. It's been a crazy year to say the least, but the calendar is going to change. I hope that brings a lot of good karma for everyone listening to this podcast, everyone's family as well. I think everyone's ready for a good change of some sort in some way. So hopefully a New Year's Eve will be peaceful and safe and we can have some good football to watch and we can start the year off right and hopefully things continue to improve. So until then, wear a mask, enjoy time with your loved ones. And again, thanks for listening to the podcast. The boys are out tonight. Peace.